Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us as we discuss what is possible when we pray for those whom we love. Let us pray. Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word, and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our reading for today is from 1 Samuel, the whole of the first chapter, and I'm reading from the NIV. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zophite, from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives, one was called Hannah and the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you so downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and do not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk, and he said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning they arose and worshipped before the Lord, and then went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." When the man Elkanah went up with all his family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will live there always." "Do what seems best to you, Elkanah," her husband told her. "Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." So the woman stayed at home and nursed her son until she had weaned him. As a side note, Elkanah was perhaps fearful that the temporary withholding of Samuel from the service of the Lord might jeopardize the Lord's favor in giving them a son who would survive and mature, and so Elkanah prayed that the Lord might make good his word. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a 3-year-old bull, and ephah of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli. And she said to him, "As surely as you live, my lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. Just to there, and may the Lord bless his word to us today and always. It is not unreasonable to believe that whatever or whomever we place in God's hands may be entrusted to his sovereign care. But it is also not an absolute given that the outcome will be certain. As humans, whether serving God or not, people still make decisions that are not always the best. However, this should not dissuade us from taking that step of faith and bringing those we love and care about before God in prayer. This is especially the case when we, for example, entrust our children to the Lord as we bring them to Him through the sacrament of baptism. For in baptism, infants share covenant status with their believing parents within the church until they are able to make their own profession of faith, and then must live by faith before God. At least this is the pattern and outcome we pray for. This passage, showing us how Samuel came to know and to serve God, later going on to be one of the more significant prophets and the last judge of Israel, is one of the most touching and most beautiful accounts of love and dedication, demonstrated by Elkanah to his wife Hannah because she was unable to have a child. He does not despise her because of her barren condition. Instead, he is compassionate and understanding, and we are told, loved her even more. And then demonstrated also by the love and dedication shown by Hannah once she does have a child, as she brings him up and then as her only son brings him to the Lord so that he can stay there and do the Lord's work. So great was her gratitude. In view of this, I want us to notice a few things from this account. Firstly, that all things are tied or connected to God. The condition of being barren is one of the Bible's strongest images of desolation and rejection. And in the mind of the ancient Israelites, barrenness represented lifelessness, as well as the absence of the redemptive blessing of God. And so it is not difficult to imagine that Hannah must have felt quite devastated in that she was unable to present her husband with a child. It wasn't just about having a personal problem. This condition indicated deeper spiritual ramifications. It was connected to God's covenantal relationship with his people. On the other hand, as with other stories of childless mothers in the Bible, there is great joy at the end of the road of feeling rejected by God and consequently very sad, since their stories all end with the woman finally bearing children. Now, since Hannah was unable to bear children, and there is no reason given, we are led to understand that everything is in God's hands, for he had closed her womb. Ultimately, God's covenant people relate their existence to God and God's purposes. There is no reference to her character being flawed or to any sin in her. Neither may we speculate as to what is not in the text. We are reading here of a godly woman. And in a very profound sense, the statement, "the Lord had closed her womb," is a statement of faith. It is not a cop-out. Rather, it provides us with an understanding of things we cannot account for, placing the past, the present, and the future squarely in God's hands. So, acknowledging that all things are connected to God, we notice, secondly, that God is the source to whom his people go for answers. Hannah is a desperate woman. We know her desperation is brought on by a sense of shame, first because God had closed her womb. Hannah is also irritated and sad because of the other wife, Peninnah, who, through her extremely unkind behavior, constantly provoking and mocking her, made her feel miserable. Remember how it was with Sarah and Hagar in Genesis 16? Her misery is likely compounded by feelings of inadequacy, since her ability to present children to her husband was a vital part of being a woman, and necessary for posterity in such a hostile world. It's safe to say that Hannah must have been deeply unhappy with her lot in life. And this brings us to the third thing. Hannah knows that God is the one who holds the future in his hands. So, instead of becoming hard of heart or bitter to the point of unbelief and moving away from God, instead of blaming God, Hannah, in her desperation, turns toward God, for she knows that it is God who has closed her womb. How easy people find it in this day and age to withdraw in unbelief and bitterness, to use a difficult set of circumstances as a lifelong excuse to not trust or serve God. Instead, desperation affords us the opportunity to realize that we are not so self-sufficient after all. This was certainly true for Hannah. In her plight, verse 11 tells us that she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and do not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." Essentially, Hannah promised God that her son would be dedicated to lifelong Levitical service and would be a lifelong Nazarite. They belonged, after all, to a clan of the Levites. And by this vow, it may seem that the issue of bearing a child was more important than the child itself. But it really was the case that both were very important, since we see that every year Hannah would come to see Samuel and bring him new clothes. And in the end, God gives her 3 more sons and 2 daughters. As we draw to a close then, here are 2 interesting things. The name Samuel means heard by God, and would serve as a continual reminder of God's mercy toward those who would call upon his name. Secondly, when Samuel was given over to the Lord, it was understood to be an irrevocable giving up of the child to the Lord. But it was the best thing that Hannah could have done. She had made a promise and kept it to the very last, and lived to see God using Samuel mightily. But what of you and I? We are not called to hand our children over to God in a similar way, but in a way that will help them know that God is their Creator and Savior, that He is trustworthy, faithful, and true. We can do this daily and include our grandchildren as well as other family and friends. God's people are not perfect, but the best they can do is give their children to God through baptism, and then through encouraging them to grow up in God's Word in regular worship in the church. The story of Hannah should not be read as a promise that God will always remove barrenness or any other physical problem, though it does underline the value of believing prayer. Its chief purpose is to show how God overruled events. If Hannah had had a son at an earlier date, she would not have placed him in the Shiloh temple to grow up there to be a man of God, receiving attention from the general public and ready for leadership. Just think then how important it is to pray for our loved ones. And so may God help us in this endeavor. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that when we pray, we can come confidently into your presence and ask for your intervention in the lives of those whom we love. We believe that you are able to change lives and soften hard hearts. And while we may not see any answers forthcoming, grant us faith to rather pray than remain silent. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you.